You may be seated. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, O Lord, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. That is some heady stuff from the Gospel of John that I just read. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. All about the Word being with us from the very beginning. And we assume that Word is Jesus. John, not John the Baptist, who is mentioned in the Gospel, but the author of this Gospel, claims that Jesus has been present since the very beginning with God, and that all things came into being through him. And that in the form of Jesus the baby, that Word becomes flesh. This is how this Gospel of John starts. This is the birth narrative according to John. There's no talk about Mary or Joseph or shepherds or angels or wise men. None of that at all. There's no earthy story of giving birth to Jesus and placing him in a manger in swaddling clothes surrounded by barn animals. No. John gives us this highfalutin language about Jesus being Word and light and life. John gives us images and ideas and words, but nothing concrete to hang on to. Nothing to really cling to. So, I'm going to try and bring it down just a little bit with a cartoon. Some of you, perhaps those that have small children, or maybe are grandparents of small children, might be familiar with a PBS kids show called Word World. If you're not, I'm about to tell you all about it. It is a cartoon show designed to help kids learn their letters and begin reading. And the opening song is this cute little ditty about Word World, and it explains that it is a place where words come alive. The characters are all very cute animals. There's a frog and a dog and a bear and a pig and a duck, amongst others. But the unique thing about these animals where words come alive is that they themselves, the animals, and actually every object in this make-believe cartoon, is that they're entirely constructed of the letters that spell what they are. So, for example, the character frog is made up entirely of the letters F-R-O-G. His entire body spells frog. And the creators of the show kind of squish and distort the letters together. They're still discernible to make him look like a frog. But nonetheless, every part of him is a letter of the alphabet. So similarly, dog in the cartoon is made up of the letters D-O-G. The places each one of them lives, like house and barn, are constructed of those letters that spell house and barn. So everything, literally everything in this cartoon is made up of letters. And so the words indeed do come alive. So if the characters in the course of the story need something, like say a hat, and they don't have one, they go find the letters H, A, T, squish them together and build the word, and lo and behold, they become a hat. Cute idea. I dare say, profound idea. I wonder if the creators of the show had just finished reading the first chapter of the Gospel of John when they sat down to write their show. Because as I contemplate what John says about the Word, Jesus Christ, becoming flesh among us. And I think about the example for this kid's show. I have to imagine Jesus walking around, made up of letters. Maybe he would have been a big W, small O, R, D. Or perhaps at times, Jesus would have spelled with his body L, I, G, H, T, light. Since John does call him the light of the world, perhaps sometimes he just would have spelled his own name, J-E-S-U-S, in the form of his body. Who knows? And then I have to take that imagination a little further, and I imagine, what if we were all characters like those animals in Word World? What one word would define who you are? What letters would form your body? How would you construct your one word person? For example, you know, how would you define somebody else? Would that person that just cut you off in traffic be J-E-R-K? Jerk? Or would you make your child who has asked you just for the 15th time why they can't play video games, would you have them spell A-N-N-O-Y-I-N-G, annoying? Or would the person you pass on the streets who is clearly homeless and intoxicated be made up of the letters B-U-M, bum? And what would you say about yourself? It would probably change on a daily basis. Some days when you look in the mirror, you might choose the word U-G-L-Y, ugly. Some days you just might look at me, I'm L-O-S-E-R, loser. Maybe N-E-R-D describes who you are, nerd. Maybe it's the other end of the spectrum, an S-U-C-C-E-S-S-F-U-L, successful. Maybe it's O-L-D, old. Maybe it's Y-O-U-N-G, young. Maybe it's P-R-E-T-T-Y, pretty. Maybe it's S-I-C-K, sick. Maybe it's H-E-A-L-T-H-Y, healthy. As we know well, people pick words that define us. Just a few days ago, someone called me R-O-T-U-N-D. Rotund. Not very long after that, someone else described the way I look in my robes as H-O-U-S-E. House. I look like a house. I could let these words define who I am and how I feel about myself. And they are, they do have truth in them. Yes, I am rotund. I do probably look like a house in this robe. But they are not the truest definition of me. Words do indeed have the power to define who we are. They have the power to define other people around us and the situations we find ourselves in, the very world around us indeed. As an example of a situation that was defined by a word, I heard someone who is being treated for cancer, who was going through radiation treatment. But instead of calling the radiation treatments radiation therapy, this person decided to rename them illumination treatments. Same treatment, same ill side effects, and same benefits. But calling radiation illumination changed the aspect in which that person was able to look at what radiation was doing in her life. Changing just one word gave it an entirely different power. Another example of the power words have over us and our situation, I found personally in an anti-racism workshop I attended. The point of the workshop was to help each of us uncover the inherent racism that we have been taught just by living in the culture we live in, and to uncover that racism and help us deal with it in a healthy way. So one very powerful exercise in the beginning was to partner with somebody and have your partner say specific words given to us, and specifically that one word, to freely associate that one word with whatever came into your head. So the word was said over and over again repeatedly. So one of the words that your partner was to say to you was white. And they would say it white, and you just said the first thing that popped into your head. So when my partner did that, I found I had many positive associations with the word white. They said it over and over again for about a minute or two. So when it said white, I said good, white, bread, white, angelic. The next word your partner was to say was the word black. over and over, and you were to give your free associations, trying not to filter anything out. Of course, when I did it, the words were much more negative. Black, evil. Black, scary. Black, violent. And it highlighted for me again that when we put people into categories like black and white, how powerful words are to define who we are and how we view the world around us. So I have to ask you again, if you were a cartoon character in Word World, what word defines you? What word defines those around you? But then what word makes you come alive? I may be defined by the word rotund. I may be defined by the word house. But that is not the ultimate truth about me. The ultimate truth about me is that I am B-E-L-O-V-E-D. Beloved. The ultimate truth about you is that you are B-E-L-O-V-E-D, beloved. And the ultimate truth about us is that we have been born of God through the waters of our baptism. And God calls us in and through those waters, calls us beloved. Because the ultimate truth is that Jesus has given me and you the power to become children of God. The truth is that Jesus has given us the power to be bearers of his life and his light to all the world because we are beloved. And we know this and can be sure of this because we know Jesus, the Word, was given to us from the very beginning and has been given to us in the flesh in the form of a baby. And this person in the flesh, because we are so beloved, lived and died and rose again because he so loved us. So that we might be defined not by words like black or white or ugly or pretty or sick or healthy or depressed or happy, but that we might be defined by the Word who is full of grace and truth, and who calls us beloved. That is the truth about us. That is the truth that gives us light and life. And that is the truth that we must accept above all other truths, above all other words that may define us. The ultimate word that defines us is Jesus Christ. So my prayer as we enter this new year is that we might come to know more deeply and more profoundly the Word that makes us alive, the Word that makes us beloved, Jesus Christ our Lord. And my prayer is that we also may come to see others, not as we may be prone to define them through worldly words and titles and definitions, but as God sees them, as beloved children. Amen.